downstairs with Pastor Ben for Junior Church, or you can stay up here with me. Doesn't sound like that big of a draw, but no, we're glad to have you. No, I'm like, what? I got to stay? No, thank you. There's candy downstairs. No, it's good to have everybody here today. I appreciate your faithfulness to the house of God. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke. Luke is the third gospel, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke, being the third gospel, is one of the synoptic gospels, meaning that Matthew, Mark, and Luke share a lot of the same accounts of the life of Jesus. Yes, it's true, all four gospels will have something unique to each one, but John was written 30 years after, and it's roughly 70% new material. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, none of it contradicts. That's why we know it's from God. One of the reasons we know the Bible is true is none of them contradict each other. This is all before there was printing presses. Everything was handwritten, and they still don't contradict. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. We are in our series called Walking with God, and we want to be a blessing to you. That's what we want to do as a church. We want to help you draw closer to the Savior. If you're not saved, well, I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to trust Christ as your Savior. I'm not going to try to hide that from you and sneak it in later. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I'm not going to try to sneak it in later. Listen, the only way you get to heaven is by trusting the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You cannot work your way to heaven, Titus 3:5. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. You can't ever be good enough. That's why God said, I will come to earth and I'll bridge that gap. I'll come. I'll be the sacrifice for sin. And then I can forgive you if you'll just trust me. And so that's the beauty of the Bible. When you read the Bible, you find out our God is a giver. Our God is not a taker. And I was wondering where my notes were. They're down here. Praise the Lord. Yes. Poor man's teleprompter. Seriously, you're in Luke chapter 10. We're going to start in verse number 38. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. And I'm going to read the even numbers out loud, and you're going to read the odds. So if you found Luke 10, say amen. Here we go, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went. Now that's Jesus and the apostles. That he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for this true story, this historical event and the lessons it teaches. And today, God, we ask that you would draw us close, ever so close. Speak to our hearts, Father. We beg you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, I'm not going to try to sneak the gospel in later. No, the truth is the only way a person gets to heaven is not through right ritual ceremony. It's not about something I do. Because God is not as interested in the things you do as what you become in Christ. We're going to look at this in a minute. Last week, I gave you three truths to our relationship with God. Number one, that God always takes the initiative. He is the one reaching out to us. There's never a time when he's not reaching out to us. But the second truth is, even though he is reaching out, he instructs us on how to have that intimacy with him. He tells us how. He doesn't leave it for us to guess. He gives us his word and says, here, I've laid it all out for you. It's simple, it's easy, and you can understand it. And the third truth is, number one, God initiates contact. Number two, God has told us how to come close and have intimacy with him. And number three, his invitation is our invitation to draw close. It's up to us to choose. It's up to us. Someone said to me one time, well, there's election. Well, God voted yes for you to get saved. The devil voted no, and you're the tiebreaker. How's that for election? All right? God said, yes, I want you all to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. That none perish and all come to repentance. God wants you to trust him. God wants to be your father. God wants to forgive you. God wants you to have a relationship with you. And that's why he's initiated contact. You realize none of us would know who he was if he hadn't spoken to mankind. Right? We wouldn't know. It's like trying to explain a blue whale to an ant. How do you explain that? How do you get the ant to understand there's a being bigger, massive, more powerful, lives in a different, exists, outside of my little world? How do you explain that? Well, God explained it to us. He explained it for us. So God's invitation is for us to draw close, and he tells us how. And it's up to us to choose, though, because God doesn't make you do anything. God will not guilt you. God is offering eternal life as a free gift. Now, in our story today, I can relate to Martha. I really can. I'm the kind of person who has an agenda. I have a routine. I get up in the morning. I don't know about you guys, but I'm the one in the house who gets up and springs out of bed. And anybody out of each marriage, is there somebody in your marriage that just springs out of bed and the other one kind of has to get a running start at getting out of bed? You know what I'm talking about? I'm one of those guys that gets up, throws off the covers, put my feet on the floor, and goes, man, it's a good day to go get them. And I just get up and lean in. That's how I live my life. I just kind of lean in and go, 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 go. And then I come home and just die. But as long as I'm leaning forward and moving forward, I feel good, you know? Other people, they take time. Well, I'm like Martha. I got an agenda. I got stuff I want to get done. But I need to be more like Mary. See, my wife is a human being. She likes to be. Do you know what I'm saying? She likes to be in her space and in her life and just kind of be. Where she's a human being, I'm a human doing. Right? She's not lazy. She just likes to be and be at peace and be with the Lord. And I'm like, let's go. And so Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus saying, basically, I'm going to let Jesus set my agenda for today. I recognize something here. This doesn't happen very often. Jesus doesn't come to my house very often. And I want what he has to give me. I want it. He wants to maximize this. That's what Mary's saying. I want to maximize this moment with Christ. I realize there's all kinds of stuff I could be doing right now, but I want to maximize this moment with the Lord. And in God's economy, he places more on being than doing. Of all the world's religions, you must understand, God isn't requiring you to do something. It's already been done for you. Think about it now. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, said, it is finished. You know, we like being God's little helpers because it makes us feel good about ourselves. But God said, man, it's already done. I got it. I've already bridged the gap. I've already come and died in your place. I'm ready to offer you forgiveness and eternal life freely. Cost me everything, cost you nothing. But I'm not going to make you. And so in the performance of me doing all my kind of stuff, I miss out on the person God wants me to become. Now, I want you to think about heaven for just a second. Let's just kind of muse on that for a second. The word muse means to think. So when you pay $80 a head to go to King's Dominion and amuse, what are you doing? Not thinking. That's a joke. You'll get it at lunch. Okay, I just spent $80 to go somewhere and not think. No, seriously, I want you to think about it. What heaven is like for a second. There's only one man-made thing in heaven, just one. You know what those are? The scars in our Savior's hands and feet. Nothing we do here goes to heaven. What goes to heaven is the person we become in Jesus Christ. That's why God's more interested in you being than doing. See, God is self-existent. The word self-existence means I don't need anything to exist. Well, you and I know we're not that way. How long can we go without water? 3 days, right? How long can we go without food? I haven't tested that fact yet, but it's 40. Is it 40 days or whatever, 50, 60? I don't know. 90? I don't know. But we need food. We need water. We need air, right? How many of you ever seen that silly show? I'm going to tell you my sin right now. Okay, I'm just going to confess it. How many of you ever watched that Naked and Afraid? That, you say, whoa, that's just wicked. They dump you on an island, and all you got is a gunny sack and one item. You know, most people don't last a week. They drop 30, 40 pounds like that because they can't find food, and they struggle to get clean water. They shelter. I mean, it gets cold at night, and the bugs eat you alive during the day. You and I are not self-existent. God is. Jehovah God, the great and terrible God. You understand, he's wonderful. He's awesome. He doesn't need you to do anything for him. He doesn't need you to exist, you know, for him to exist. He doesn't need your anything. What can you offer him that he needs? He doesn't need anything. He exists without us and without all of this action we think we have to do to come to him. He's self-existent. So when you think about God, he's really more interested in the person you're going to become. Have you ever had somebody come stay with you? And after a little while, you realize, when are you leaving again? I'm sorry, what was that? How long did you say you were staying? I'm sorry. They say relatives and fish have the same life expectancy on the counter in the kitchen. About 3 hours and they start to stink, right? Have you ever had to like have somebody over and they don't follow your rules and they don't care and they break your stuff and they aren't respectful and they... Sounds like a teenager, doesn't it? I mean, seriously. Right? It's the only thing you spend thousands of dollars on that doesn't come with a manual. So when you think about it, why would God want to live for eternity with you? See, it's about who you're becoming in Christ. It's not about the things you do. It's not about the checklist. Who are you? Who are you becoming? Are you becoming more like Jesus, his son? I know when we'd have people stay over the house, Ms. Mix and I would sit them down and say, okay, here's the rules. You know, you'd ask to do this or this or that or this off limit, blah, blah, blah. You know? And we would want their character to be such that we could, you know, it'd be a enjoyable time. Look, God never throws you away. God will never throw you away. God doesn't throw away broken things. God don't throw away damaged things. God doesn't throw away messed up things. And family can be messy. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's true. Family's messy. So that's why God is more interested in who you become rather than the things you do. So as we look at our story today, Mary is being commended for her character and her passion and her pursuit. You know, we see this throughout the entire Bible. You know, Abraham, remember the story of Abraham? God made Abraham several promises. One of them was that he'd give him a son. How long did Abraham have to wait for that? He had to wait decades. Decades. Could God have given him a child immediately? Yeah, nothing's too hard for God. Why did God make him wait? For the same reason he makes you and I wait for certain things. Abraham had to grow in his character. Remember, he went down to Egypt and lied about Sarah being his sister, not his wife. Then he went out to a different king and lied about her again. Remember, he hadn't had the character to rear God's chosen people, so God had to let him go through some stuff and become the man he needed to be so that he could do what God wanted him to do. And that's because God's more interested in who you're becoming. So here in Luke chapter number 10, it says that Martha received Jesus into the house. Now, I understand how this works. Martha obviously wanted to feed him. I mean, I love it when people feed me. I mean, seriously, I'll work for food. I love it. I used to do that. People say, can you help me with my computer? I'm like, I work for food. I know you know how to make tacos. I'm like, I'll be over. But she invited him in. And if you've ever been in the Eastern cultures, they're very hospitable people. It's a great culture for hospitality. But do you realize there's no KFC or Costco back then? You realize that, right? 2,000 years ago, Costco didn't exist. Safeway didn't exist. If you're going to feed Jesus fried chicken, you had to go out to the crib, pull the chicken, rip its head off, take the feathers. You realize fried chicken really is horrible with the feathers still on. Right? They had no refrigeration. So you ate the bird that was walking around this morning. You ate it that afternoon. So Martha had to go out and kill it. She had to take the feathers off. She had to scald it in water. She had to cut it apart and cook it. And while that's going on, the lentils are cooking and the biscuits are cooking. And she's got this going on and that going on. And she looks up and Mary isn't doing a thing. Okay, now we're starting to have flashbacks to Thanksgiving, aren't we? Aren't we, ladies? You're in there slaving away over that dead bird while the rest of us are talking football or sitting on the couch or fussing about the Xbox controller. Okay, now you're starting to understand how Martha felt for just a second. But Mary recognized that Jesus doesn't come over very often. I don't get an opportunity like this very often. And if I'm going to maximize this, I need to sit and hear everything he says. I would be satisfied with cold cuts if I could just hear from Jesus. I need to find out what he wants to say. I need to find out everything I can about him. So Jesus said, Mary chose the best part. Jesus said it twice. You know, he said that I need to learn everything. And whatever we see working in our life or someone else's life, it's natural for you and I to go, wow, God, what do I got to do to get that to happen in my life? It's not about what you do. It's about who you allow God to make you. It's like who you're becoming in Christ. So Mary realized her relationship with Jesus had to be a priority. You're there and it says... And Mary, which also, verse 39, sat at Jesus' feet. That means she didn't even have a chair. She didn't care if she didn't have a seat on the couch. She sat at his feet and heard his word. She was making it a priority. Oh, listen, there's so many things that vie for your time, that pull at you. I mean, oh, bless your heart, ladies. How long? Isn't it great when your husband takes a kid somewhere so you could get in a bathtub? Without interruption. That's why we have locks on the bathroom doors, isn't it right, ladies? Right? But even then, they get their head down there and they're looking underneath going, Mom, where's the popsicles? Huh? And they get their little fingers under there. Isn't it great? Isn't it great when your husband takes them to somewhere just so you can get in the tub once a year? Wouldn't that be great? Huh? Once a year. I know. But the Lord makes it clear. Look at Luke chapter 12. You're there in 10. Just turn a page toward couple pages to the back. Luke 12 and verse 22 and 23. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. For the life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. You know, we spend so much time worrying about what we're going to cook and what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear and how we're going to get through tomorrow and right now, I bet every one of you have your email inboxes filling with stupidity that you have to deal with for tomorrow. Amen, right? 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 Because somebody else can't seem to be an adult at work. You took a day and the children are still working at work. You understand what I'm saying? And they vie for your time, and they're constantly. I think you ladies understand that a lot of times worse than us, men. But when you think about it, there's always something vying for your attention. And you have to make your time with the Lord a priority. In Luke 12, you're just there. Luke 12 and verse number 31, the Bible says, but rather, look at that, Luke 12 and verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. Preacher, you just don't understand. You know, I am busy. You have the same 168 hours a week that everyone else has. Have you ever seen Stephen Covey made this illustration really cool? He took a big pickle jar and he had big rocks and medium-sized rocks and pea gravel and sand and water. And if you put them in reverse order, the water first, the sand, the pea gravel, it overflows. But if you put the big rocks in first and then the smaller rocks, then the pea gravel, then the sand, and you shake it, you can pour the whole pitcher of water in and it won't overflow. Because you put the big rocks in first. We get so busy living our life by a stopwatch when we need to live our life by a compass. I want you to think about that for a second. We need to live our life by a compass, by priority. It says, Psalm 63:1, Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. When I can be alone, when I can make you the priority. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. We do what we want to do. Did you know you control the clicker for the TV? Did you know you control the alarm clock? Did you know that? You do. No one else does. You do. And we do what we want to do. I mean, let's just say I had tickets to a Bears game tomorrow. I know you'd all get up early with me, wouldn't you? What? Am I the only Bears fan in the room? Y'all need to get right with God, all right? There's no roof on that stadium so God can watch the Bears play. Think about it. We do what we want to do. Our intimacy with God needs to be a priority. You know, I counsel a lot of Christians that know what God says, but that it doesn't matter. They want me to come in and fix it. They want me to give them a recipe for X plus, you know, Y equals Z, and boom, everything's pretty. No, it doesn't work that way. Our problems aren't fixed necessarily by advice or money. It's a fix in our relationship with God. When I'm right with God, I can't be right with my wife, I can't be wrong with my wife and right with God at the same time. Because if I'm not right with my wife, I'm not right with God. If I'm not right with my kids, I'm not right with God. If I'm not right with my church members, I'm not right with God. If I'm right with God, I'm right with everyone else, and it changes who we are. Because our relationship has to be a priority. Number two, it has to be a pursuit. It's something, it's a commitment. It's not just a choice I make. It's a commitment I keep. In the parable of the sowers in Mark 4, the Bible reads in verse 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word and become it unfruitful. Have you ever noticed the minute you try to follow through on a commitment with your walk with God, something interrupts you, right? You set your alarm clock, you're going to get up a little earlier, so does the baby, right? Huh? You set your alarm clock, you're going to get up a little earlier, you're going to find a little quiet, so does your husband. He wakes up, right? Something always comes up. We have to jealously guard this. We have to make this a priority. Yes, we have to jealously guard it. In 1 Timothy 4:7, the Bible says, exercise thyself unto godliness. The word exercise is the same word we use for physical exercise. When we exercise our bodies at the gym, we're supposed to be exercising our souls in the prayer closet, in time in prayer and time in Bible reading. We are making ourselves stronger. You build the body through physical resistance. You build the soul through resistance from the flesh. Have you ever tried to read your Bible but fall asleep? Listen, brothers and sisters, you don't need NyQuil. Other if you have a cold, go ahead and medicate, that's fine. But I mean, you don't need meds to go to sleep, just bring your Bible out. And you'll be like, in the beginning, right? Because your flesh hates it. Your flesh don't want it. Right? So you'll be reading and you'll just mind numb and you're out. It happens. You ever fall asleep praying? Huh? Listen. Like I said, I get up in the morning and I lean in and I go, and then I come home and I'll sit down at the dining room table. She'll be talking to me and I'll go out like a light. I'll be sitting straight up in a chair. right? All right, so one day I had a problem. Now I'm like, I'm gonna get a hold of the Lord, okay? I'm getting serious now. I got down, before anybody else got up that morning, I got down on the living room floor and I put my face in the carpet. I'm gonna get spiritual now. I'm gonna get a hold of God, okay? I gotta have an answer. I gotta have an answer now. All right, I'm gonna get spiritual. So I got face down on the carpet and I woke up with all this fuzz in my mouth and my nose. Because your flesh resists anything you try to do for the Lord. So listen, if you're like me, I have to pray standing up. I got to walk. I got to go for a walk. I'm going to go talk to the Lord. And I'll walk around. Why? Because my flesh hates it. You know, a lot of times when I need to read and I need to study, I know it seems kind of crazy. I think the neighbors think something weird's going on here because I'll walk around the inside of the auditorium with my Bible when my mind's focused and I'm out of 5-hour energy drinks and I know myself. It has to not only be a priority, it has to be a pursuit. I know where my struggles are. Okay? I have to be a soul builder. It has to become a daily discipline. And I need the accountability of my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, Tom Landry, the great football coach of the Dallas Cowboys, said, it is the coach's job to make the player do what he doesn't want to do at practice so he can accomplish what he wants to accomplish on game day. In the boxing world, the champions are not made in the ring. They're only revealed under the bright lights of the Coliseum. They are made in the dark and in the morning when they're doing their road work. And every morning when they're doing their shadow boxing and they're doing their strategies and they're faithful to their nutritional diet and their workout regime. That is when the champions are built. It has to be a pursuit. It has to be something we find important because the flesh will not cooperate with this endeavor. And there's going to be times when you're tired. But you know, I've never walked away from my devotions ever regretting it, even when I was tired, even when I had piles and piles of stuff to get done. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 3, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law. Don't leave it behind. Get up every morning. Make this a part of your life. But let thine heart keep my commandments. Don't just read it, live it. Look at it. For length of days. Look at that, for length of days and long life. This is what God's promising me. You know, I think I invented the concept of busy. You say, no. I used to pastor and work full time before the Lord blessed us with a church that's large enough. And so I know what it means. But you know, I'd claim this verse and say, God, I need more hours in my day. Now, does God add more time to the clock? No, but he makes me more efficient and effective at what I do. Because I don't know if you realize this or not, but God knows your job better than you do. God knows more about sales. God knows more about consulting. God knows more about project management. God knows more about leadership in the military. God knows more about everything. He can make you more efficient and more effective. That's the promise of walking with him. So it has to be a priority. It has to be a pursuit. So you have to ask yourself. See, Mary chose this. Mary said, I need this. So what are you pursuing? And we all pursue something. What are you pursuing? I bet your Cash App could tell us. Your Amazon history could tell us. I bet your streaming service could tell us. Man, got quiet, Mike. Did you hear that? Huh? You see what I mean? We all have pursuits, not necessarily sinful, just... Does God get in there anywhere? Does God get... I mean, remember, I like being entertained. I like having fun. There's nothing sinful about it. It's good stuff. But that isn't what's going to make me the person I need to be for eternity. See, you were made not for time. You were made for eternity. Eternity with God. So God is more interested in your being than your doing. So it needs to be a priority, a pursuit. It also needs to be a passion. Here back in Luke chapter number 10, Luke chapter number 10, the Bible says that Mary, verse 39, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. You know, I'll bet you a dollar Mary knew that she was going to pay for this later with Martha. You girls are really, really good at this. Us guys, not so much, but girls, you know what I'm talking about, right? Mom or sister so-and-so was expecting you to show up and help her cook that Thanksgiving dinner, and you were 30 minutes late because you just, you know, couldn't. The kids wouldn't get in the car, and husband wasn't helping, and you're going to pay for it later. You knew that the whole way over, didn't you? I'm going to pay for this later. You owe me big. That's what she'd say to me. You owe me big. Like that, huh? Mary knew she was going to pay for it with Martha. But you understand, this was her passion. And you all have expectations placed upon you at home, at work, in extended family. You have expectations placed upon you. I mean, I get calls from family and church and folks, and there's expectations on me, but there's expectations on you too. And so the question is, what do you do? Well, Mary made time and carved that out, and she made it a passion and a pursuit. See, in Philippians 3:10, Paul said, oh, that I might know him. That I might know him. I need to know God. In Psalms 84:10, the Bible says, who do I have but you, Lord? Who do I have but you? In the Bible, the passion of God's people has always been time spent with him. But, so it needs to be a pursuit. It needs to be a priority. It needs to be a passion. But it also needs to be practical, all right? It needs to be practical. You know yourself. You know what your schedule's like. You know how your life is. You're the one who has to decide, how can I make this work? How can I spend some time with the Lord? And then while it's happening, maybe you're walking the treadmill and you're listening to the Bible being read to you. There's nothing wrong with saturating your mind like that. But you need to do the same thing whether you're listening to it or reading it. God, speak to me. I'm listening. And then when God wakes you up and says, hey, this is for you. You need to know this. You need to ask yourself, what is this truth you're showing me, God? How does this apply to me? Make it practical. Make it personal. Make it actionable. God, how do I put this into my life? Why? Because the goal of God is who you become, not what you do. Because one day, the title on the bottom of that business card will no longer say your current title. It'll just be you. Your career will end. Your children will move off. It's who you become in Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. But the thought doesn't end there. It goes on to say, why? Why does everything work out for you? Well, God will work it out for your good. Why? Because he planned in advance. For whom he did foreknow, he predestinated. What? That they would be conformed to the image of his son. God is going to harness the power of the things that have happened to you and the things that are going on in your life, and he's going to use it to mold and shape you into the image of his son. Because that's who he's going to spend eternity with, is the person you become in Jesus. So who are you in Jesus? Some of you today are born-again believers. Some of you have called upon Jesus and been saved. But some of you are still trying to find your way. I was like that. I was like that for a long time, where I didn't know. I had certain assumptions based on things I thought I heard or whatever, and I was putting my faith and trust in a church and they were wonderful people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying my own assumptions were in something other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And see, that's where it starts. My relationship with God starts on October 9th, 1990, at 9 o'clock, I knelt down in our bedroom and I admitted I was a sinner and I asked him to forgive me because I was trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Me. That's what I was trusting in. At that moment, I was saved. And now, I'm becoming what I'm supposed to be coming in Christ. I'm not perfect. I'll never arrive until I arrive at heaven. But you know, God don't care about the work I used to do. You realize everything that I used to do before I became a minister is on display at the Smithsonian. For those of you who don't know, your career, if you live long enough, you will outlast whatever it is you're an expert on right now. And it won't even be at the secondhand shop. You won't even be able to find that junk at a flea market. And you think to yourself, no, it's cutting edge technology. Yeah, so was the PS2, the 8088. And the question is, who are you? I used to say, well, I'm a field engineer for IBM. I'm a Novell engineer for Caterpillar Tractor Company. I'm a consultant for Whitman Hart. I used to say I was the help desk supervisor for State Farm Insurance. I used to be the guy that did all those things. But none of that's what I'm going to do in heaven. None of that is who I am 1 second after I die. See, when I gave myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, I lost nothing. And I gained everything. When I gave myself to my wife, I lost nothing. I gained everything. Who are you? Who are you becoming? Who is it that will spend eternity with Christ for eternity in heaven? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our relationship with God needs to be a priority, a pursuit, a passion, and a personal, personal thing. Our Heavenly Father, in the next few moments, Father, we pray that you would speak to every heart and every soul. God, that you would show us a glimpse of what your desire is for us and who we become. And Father, if there's one among us today who's lost, may they understand the truth of the gospel and believe, to repent and to believe. Please, God. And Father, for us, your children, there is an area of our life that you need to put your finger on and speak and show and point, that we might become who we're supposed to become in Christ. Do it now, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we prepare for baptism. The altar is open. And the church is ready for you. If you'd like to come pray, if you'd like to come and receive Christ, or just come and talk to the Lord, won't you come? Won't you come and speak? Won't you come?
Won't you come this morning?
I'm sorry when I that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you.
Jesus this morning. This past week, the moon moved in front of the sun and covered part of our planet with darkness. Maybe there's darkness in your life this morning and it has blocked your view of the sun. If there's darkness in your life this morning and you want to reestablish your connection and relation with the sun this morning, you can do that. Our invitation is still open. Miss Sherry will sing one more verse.
Nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I just want you.
Father, we just want you this morning to work in our lives. To take us as we are, mold us and make us as we would serve you, Father. We're thankful for those that have come this morning, the burdens you've laid on their heart, the burdens you've taken away. Lord, just be with those that are getting baptized and making commitments this morning. Thank you for your blessing of this church and its people here in your spirit that dwells among us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We have one